We are walking through the books of 1 and 2 Corinthians, letters to the church in Corinth, way back 2,000 years ago, and we're discovering that we have the same problems. We're discovering that, God has the same solution. And so by way of bringing you up to speed, or back up, if you will, into with me, and just setting the table, Paul launches this book dealing with a particular problem. In all of Corinthians, you're just going to see problems. But he launches with the first problem, which is sectarianism. Sectarianism isn't like, that I wish the Mormons and the Baptists would get along. That's not what that is. Sectarian was these people that actually believed the gospel. They actually believed the truth, but they were becoming divided one to another because they were following different leaders. They were following Apollos. They were following Paul. They were following Peter. And some of them even said, well, we're the people who followed Jesus. And so, but what Paul's point to them was is that you're divided. And then he begins to have this conversation where he sets the entire deal up talking about how God works. And he's going to show them throughout all the Corinthian letters, or both the Corinthian letters, what I mean by that is through all the problems, he's going to show them that there is a natural way to do something, and there's a spiritual way to do something. There's wisdom that's from the world. There's wisdom that's from above. And he has already critiqued in our last time together the wisdom that's from the world. And he said this. He said, God literally designed that the wisdom of the world would fall on its own sword. That is, that people would try to find God through wisdom, and God designed that they wouldn't. And so we see this. All the philosophies of the age have literally fallen on their own swords. They've all tried to find true meaning, true life, true this, true that, and they've all ended up never getting to God. And God said that he designed it that way. Where's the debater of the philosopher of this age? Where's the religious guy of this age? And so whether you're thinking about of all of the religions of the world, or you're thinking about all of the philosophies of the world, none of them have solved man's problem, because God designed that his problem would be solved by him alone, and that glory would be brought to him and his son alone, and that so that glory wouldn't be brought to philosophers, that wouldn't be brought essentially to man and mankind who had fallen away from God, but glory would be brought to the God that they fell away from. And their own wisdom would literally prove that they had fallen away from him and were irrecoverable without him. And so, and then Paul says, he last week what he said was, he goes like, and look at you guys. Let me just be simple about it. He was talking to the church at Corinth, but he was also talking to all of us. You're a bunch of nobodies, and I chose a bunch of nobodies to save the world. I was going to give the bunch of nobodies a message that was foolishness to the world, to the wise people of the world, to the philosophers of the world. It would be foolishness to them. And I was going to give it to a bunch of people who weren't them, to confound them with the wisdom of God. And so he talks about that. And he says, and even me, when I came to you, and of course we know about Paul, that Paul was quite a theologian, that he had sat under Gamaliel's feet, and Paul said, even me, I was nothing. He goes, I didn't come to you with eloquent speech. I didn't come to you anyway. I came to you in fear and trembling. Why? Because God had designed this message, the message of the cross, the gospel, to be the message that would profound you, and it didn't need my bona fides to do it. As a matter of fact, my bona fides would end up being a hindrance And you'll see this in Philippians when Paul says that, you know, I had the best pedigree of anybody of you out here, but I found out that my pedigree was actually a hindrance, and it was actually rubbish in God's righteous plan. And so tonight we're picking up in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter in the sixth verse, and we're going to go through the 10 verses that will lead us to the end of the passage. To the end of the chapter. And so he says, well, let me go back one verse so that we make sure we hop in where he was, and maybe I'll go back a couple of verses. And Paul says, I was with you, and I also was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, like the meaning the man's wisdom, like some good philosopher, but instead they were in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that the message of the cross would be, as he had said earlier, the power of God to save people. And so I wasn't coming in here trying to impress you with fancy words. What I was coming in with a message, and that message itself would be the power of God to save you, so that your faith, so that what you believe might not rest in the wisdom of men, but it would rest in the power of God. And so here's what he's saying. He's setting these two things apart. We talked about them last week. He said that here's what you guys want. You either want a bunch of signs, right? And remember, Jesus said, the only sign I'm going to give you, the sign of Jonah. And what's the sign of Jonah? The death, burial, and the resurrection. And he goes, and some of you want to try to outsmart this thing, and I'm just going to let that fall on its own sword. And he said, because here's what I want to do. I want to combine the wisdom of God and the power of God in one message, the message of the cross, that will accomplish everything you guys are looking for. And so then he picks up and says this. And then he shifts a gear and he says it this way. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom. But it's not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age. He's reminding them there is a wisdom that God's going to impart, but it's not the philosophers and it's not the religious boys. And he said, it's not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God. Now, secret to who? Hidden from who? We're going to see that in just a second. But it's a secret and hidden, and it's the wisdom of who? God, exactly. Not the wisdom of man trying to get to God, not the wisdom of man trying to figure God out, but the wisdom of God. And that has been secret, meaning that you can't come up with it in your mind. You can't think of it on your own. And that's what he's going to unpack here in just a second. And he says, we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. And so, in other words, God made up the plan of salvation before the world began. God gave his people to the Lord Jesus before the world began. The Bible said that even Jesus was crucified for them before the foundation of the world, meaning that the plan of God to give the people of God to the Lord Jesus and have them be born in Adam, and knowing that they would fall in Adam in disobedience and rebellion, God had already planned Jesus' purchase for them from before the foundation of the world. And so which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this. Nobody figured it out. The religious people didn't figure it out, including the Jewish religious people. And the wisdom people didn't figure it out. For if they had, the Bible says, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You remember when the Lord Jesus was on the cross, what was the first thing he said? Father, forgive them for what? They had never crucified him, but they never figured it out. And God had planned that be the case. God had planned that be the case. And then it says, so what God's talking about is this wisdom that's from above. Listen to this. We've already talked about this, but I want to remind you about the two different kinds of wisdoms. The Bible says that the wisdom that is from below is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Think world, flesh, and devil. World, flesh, and devil. So we keep trying to come up with stuff. That's out of our own. We think we know stuff. The other thing is we listen to the world and think it can figure it out. And the other thing is that whole thing, the whole world is under the sway of the evil one, 1 John 5. And so what happens is that that's the wisdom that's from below. But the wisdom that's from above is pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's open to reason, it's full of mercy and good fruits, it's impartial, and it's sincere. And the wisdom that's from above will yield a harvest of righteousness that's sown in peace by peacemakers. That's out of James 3. And so God's saying that there is wisdom, but that that wisdom is a secret wisdom, and it's been preserved to be given to only a particular people. And the people in that age had not come up with it, because if they would have, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. In verse 9, it says, "But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor no ear heard, nor ever entered the heart of man's imagination." That is, the no heart of man has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. And this verse has been oft quoted and oft preached about, but the context of this verse is simply this. It's simply this, that the purposes of God, the secret of God, God's plan of salvation that was from the ages was thought of from all time past and was given to his people even now, and nobody saw it. Nobody heard it. It was not in anyone's imagination, the things that God had prepared for his people who love him. And so the Bible said that these things God had to reveal to us through the Spirit. These things God had to reveal to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. And listen to the analogy that he gives here to help us understand what he's talking about. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So here's what God's saying. He's going, look, you know, contrary to my wife's belief, she can't read my mind. And, well, you know, she thinks she can after 39 years. I know what you're thinking. Don't be saying I don't. And so, and fair enough, I mean, she has watched my mind long enough to guess where I'm headed. But the truth is, nobody knows what's in me except me. And what Paul is using that analogy to say is, well, how is it possible then that you could know the heart and the mind of God? It's literally impossible. Unless the person who is in the heart and mind of God, the Spirit, comes and teaches it to you. You cannot discover the mind of God. So this is it. Let's say that, you know, I had set out my life's pursuit to discover the mind of Brett. And so I'm sure Devin has made efforts at this area. But let's say that I set it out as my pursuit, and I really spent a lot of time trying to figure out Brett's heart and mind. And I like went at it from all these things. I set up an observation platform, and I tried to figure out Brett's heart and mind. Well, the thing is that no matter how good I would have been able to observe him, I can't figure out his heart and mind. And that's what God's saying, that you know what the wisdom of the world has done and religions have done? They have come and tried to figure out the heart and mind of God, but you can't figure it out. But the Spirit knows the heart and mind of God, and the Spirit gives us by revelation the heart and mind of God. And so it says, these things God has revealed to us, but through the Spirit. That's through the wisdom of God. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. And then, so it says this. So no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And then it says in verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God. And here's a specific reason we've received the Spirit that's from God, so that we can understand the things that have been freely given to us by God. So here's the deal. What's he been talking about this whole time? He's been talking about our salvation. He's been talking about the message of the cross. He's been saying that the message of the cross is foolishness. He's been saying that the message of the cross is literally the secret hidden wisdom of God that no one would have ever stumbled on. No one would have ever said, here's what the world says. You've got to straighten out your own stuff. You've messed up and you've got to straighten out your own mess. There's nobody that could have ever dreamed that a substitute would show up and he would die for my sins. Who could have dreamed of that? There's nobody that dreamed that a substitute could show up and be my righteousness instead of me having to be my own righteousness. There's nobody that could have imagined and dreamed that the solution to the world's problem was one man, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he would come and not only would he be the righteousness of God, not only would he live out the perfect law of God and never defy God's will, but he would also stand in the gap for all of his people that God gave him before the foundation of the world. And he would die for them and he would be their righteousness. And that message, which is the message of the cross, is foolishness to those who are perishing. Nobody could have thought it up and nobody ever did, even until today. Even until today. But it is the message that is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so the Bible says that nobody could get it, but we needed to understand the things that were given to us freely from God. I needed to understand that the righteousness of God was not something that he expected me to try to pull off, but that he would be my righteousness. I needed to understand that I didn't have to pay for my sins, that Jesus would pay for them. And the things that were freely given to me by God needed to be taught to me, but I could have never figured it out on my own. No religious system, no system of wisdom would have ever figured it out. I needed to be taught it by God. And that's what he's trying to say here. And he's saying, and we impart words that are not taught by human wisdom, but they are taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to spiritual people. And so what God does is he shows us the spiritual realities of the message of the cross, and he causes me, listen to me, he causes me to believe it. Now, I want you to think about this. You're like, oh, I mean, don't I choose to believe it? Well, sure, you do believe it. You do believe it, but it's because God opened your eyes to see it. It's because it was a spiritual truth that God made you a spiritual being so that you could see it, so that you could understand it. And so now all God is doing is teaching his children truths, and they're just saying amen. That's how that works. And so it's spiritual truths being interpreted to spiritual people. And then he goes on to say that the natural person does not accept. I want you to watch both of these things, because this is what I was talking about just a second ago when I said he causes us to believe it. Listen to this. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. Doesn't. In other words, he doesn't want to. He doesn't care about the things of God. He tries to find a God of his own making. That's throughout all the history of the world, including now. He tries to come up with a philosophy that doesn't need a God. That's throughout all the history of the world, including now. The natural person doesn't accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness or folly to him. And what else? He's not able to understand with them. He's not able to understand them. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned. In other words, God has designed his wisdom to be a secret wisdom given to a chosen people. And if you're not one of the chosen people, I promise you, you will never understand the things that God has done for the people that he loves. And so what happens is the natural mind cannot perceive it. But what happens is that God gives that insight to his people, and suddenly they see it, and seeing they believe. And seeing they believe. And so that they're beneficiaries in their belief of the things that God has shown them. What does that mean, the beneficiaries? That means I have peace with God instead of looking to have peace with God, because God has finally revealed his love to me in a way that makes me have peace with him. And my soul is at peace. And so the Bible says that the natural man doesn't accept the things of God, and he can't. He's not able to understand them because they're spiritually discerned. And the spiritual person judges all things, but he himself is to be judged by no one. And here's what that means. That means that when God shows you something and it's the truth, it doesn't mean that the church doesn't see that together. The church does see the truths of God together, because my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and God's truths are the same truths for all of us. And so that doesn't mean that. What it means is that the world can't critique our message. It's foolishness to the world. It can't be judged by the world. They are not spiritual. They will never see it. And then he says, "For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him?" Who has understood the mind of the Lord? What's his whole point since verse 1 of chapter 1? His whole point 1 is no one has and no one can unless God decides to show him. And then he says this good news to you. But you have the mind of the Lord. You have the mind of Jesus. How did you have it? Because God gave it to you by his Spirit. Why did he give it to you? Because you're his. Why are you his? Because God gave you to Jesus before the foundation of the world. That's it. And so Paul's saying, listen. And of course, what he's going to do next time is he's going to show how that knowledge, how what I just said, applies to every single problem in the church. What are you talking about? And let me just give you a practical tip on the way out. Most of our lives are us winging it. Honestly, most of our lives are filled with human wisdom, us winging it. Us listening how to parent from some parenting guru. Us learning how to meditate from some meditation guru. Us figuring out how to do money from some money guru. I mean, and the thing is that what God's saying is like, nope, mm-mm. The world can't ever figure out the right way to do anything. The world can't ever do it. The world's method is always madness. But I am the wisdom of God, and I've given you that wisdom by the Spirit, and I'm going to show you how to apply that wisdom to all these different areas in church life. Next time we're meeting in Corinthians, he's going to show them how to apply it to sectarianism. After that, he's going to show it how to apply it to a person who wants to take you to court. After that, he's going to show you how to apply it to sexual sin. After that, he's going to show you how to apply it to someone who's stumbling in the church family. After that, he's going to show you how to apply it to communion. After that, he's going to show you how to apply the wisdom of God when you're dealing with a weak brother, somebody who's not as far along in the faith as you are. After that, he's going to show you how to apply it to the gifts of the Spirit and the ministry. ministry of the gifts in the body of Christ. And on and on and on, God's going to take all the problems that the Corinthian church had and said, and he's going to show them, you're dealing with this as natural people. And he's going to call, he has the word for that in the King James is carnal. That's for Ralph. You're dealing with this as natural people, like you have natural minds, when I've given you the mind of Christ. And here's the mind of Christ about these subjects. But what he wanted to set straight with you first was that you can't have the mind of Christ unless God gives it to you. Amen. And God gives it to his people, and he withholds it not. And so we can rejoice about that and say amen and say thank you. Let's pray. Lord, we're glad that you, in your wisdom, close the eyes of everyone in the world except the people that you decided to open their eyes so that they could see your Son and his gospel, so that they could have the wisdom of God. That you shut up wisdom, that you turned it on itself, that it will destroy itself ultimately, as every philosophy has, so that you could reveal Jesus, so that you could reveal his gospel, so that you could show us the things that you've given to those who you love. And Lord, we're glad. We're glad to be named among those people who you've opened their eyes. And we pray that you would continue to show us your wisdom as we work through these pages. In Jesus' name. Amen.